if you leave, and you have every right to leave, you know, especially if another team offers you more money, understand that you just become another guy, that you'll probably bounce around the league, you'll have a nice, cute, adorable career, you'll make plenty of money, but you won't have that legacy. And you have a chance to have that legacy if you stay with the New York Mets.
Right.
If you don't care about that, that's fine. You don't have to. You don't have to. Like, I think DeGrom's different, but Jake had that decision too. Jake looked at a monster offer from Texas, a monster offer from the Mets. And I think he knew, if I stay with the Mets, I'll be an even bigger legend with them.
Yeah.
And he decided, you know what? It's more money, it's more years, and maybe I don't want to live there anymore.
Well, it's interesting because I think that the conversation about we were having about whether what was important to Pete, like, what is it, the money? Is it the organization? Is it the winning a championship because you were homegrown here? What's is it living in New York? What's most important to you? I think one of the important things to DeGrom, even though this was highly speculated but not necessarily, I don't know, confirmed, was that he didn't want to be in New York, right? He didn't love the invasive nature of media and fans in this area, and so maybe that pushed him away. We don't know because he won't ever confirm or deny it, but I think it's interesting to know that from athletes. And I have no idea what Pete Alonso wants and what's most important to him.
Let's go to Darren calling from Stamford, Connecticut. How are you today, Darren?
What's up, Darren?
Great, guys. Love to hear. Love calling in. My opinion with the Alonso thing is I don't know too many billionaires. I know a lot of dollar heirs, I think they're trying to make it a classy organization. And when you're dropping LFG and humping handrails, I would love to see Steve's wife's reaction to that, because I honestly think that they're not going that route just because they're trying to change the whole organization and be a classy organization. That's not the way to go about it.
I'll give you this, Darren. I haven't thought about it that way. So you did bring something to the table that we have not discussed, and thanks for the call. But I don't think Pete Alonso, being a somewhat vulgar guy, and by the way, humping the dugout, stanchion, whatever you want to call it, I don't think he's humping it. I think he's just awkward. Like, the other day I was dancing, and someone texted me and said, look at you doing the Trump dance. I said, I wasn't doing the Trump dance. I was doing my dance.
I'm a loser.
I started to realize it's just the awkward white guy dance. That's all it is. Like, that's all it is. And so I think in Pete's case, we always make judgments. Like, that guy judged, like, oh, you're doing that dance. No, I'm just awkward. And in Pete's case, I think he's just awkward. I don't think he was humping the dugout. I think he was excited. And sometimes when you're excited, you hump.
And you don't know what to do. And so you just start, like, gyrating. And it looks like you're, you know, trying to have relations with the dugout.
I'm coming for that ass. I think this is business. 2 years ago, the Mets offered Pete Alonso a 6-year contract, and he said no. And Steve Cohen.
What was the number on that deal?
150 something.
Okay.
He's not getting it, bro. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
It was a mistake. Pete Alonso made a mistake not accepting that contract. Now David Stearns is running the show. Because remember, that contract was offered before David Stearns was the team president. And David Stearns has a philosophy. And again, there are parts of his philosophy I disagree with. Like, I would have been more aggressive going after a Corbin Burns. I would be more aggressive in getting Pete Alonso if need be. Right now, I don't need to.
Right.
So it's irrelevant. But he doesn't want to give long-term contracts to guys in their 30s. I think it's pretty obvious.
Was he that way in Milwaukee? Is this just a general philosophy that he espouses forever? Or is this something that's just handed down to him from Steve Cohen? You know what I mean?
So,
I want to protect my... I'm going to spend money, but I want to spend it the right way. I want to protect my investments. So,
okay, so I think there's two things here. First of all, what we all need to do is not... We can't compare to Milwaukee because it was such a different scenario. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, because Joe has said this before, and it's like, it's not true. David Stearns is a small market general manager. No, he's not. He just happened to be a general manager who was forced into small market restraints because that's where he was. It's not like he's coming here saying, I need to be a small market general manager. So I don't think it has anything to do with his time in Milwaukee.
Well, I mean, isn't it influenced by that, though?
I mean, no, here's what I think it's influenced by. I think David Stearns knows something that maybe a lot of us don't want to admit. as much money as Steve Cohen has, there's an end point. There's a point where he says no. He can't just spend unwittingly, you know?
Right.
And I think David wants to be smart with the way the Mets spend. Juan Soto was given a monster contract. Yeah, he's a generational player who's 26 years old. It's different than giving a long-term contract to a guy in their 30s. So I don't think it's about being cheap or something he learned in Milwaukee. I think it's realizing this owner will spend, but it's not unlimited. So I need to be smart with when I ask him to spend his money.
Yeah, what if they promised Pete that Mrs. Met will continue to do her squats? Do you think that would help with the humping?
I think that would definitely help, by the way, Sean. Sean, I need to reveal a text message that you sent us.
Okay.
Can I do that?
I don't remember sending anything back.
He's very nervous.
You're like, wait, what did I do?
So all Sean did was he sent a tweet. So it's out there. It's not something he created. That accuses Drew Aller of being out on a yacht right now with escorts down in Miami.
I want to say something. My gut is I don't believe it, but I think it's worthy of funniness.
What date is this? Is this today? Or is
this is
yesterday?
Today. This is right now.
Right. 1-9. Yeah, so January 9th at 2:37 p.m.
Now, they play tonight, the game we were talking about. Do you know the Twitter account that put out the picture? Like, are we familiar with this person?
Not at all. It's just getting a lot of run, and it popped up. You know the way Twitter's all screwed up now.
Yes.
Okay. Because it could be Drew Aller on a yacht, like, 6 weeks ago, in fairness.
It could be.
Well, I mean, 6 weeks ago, he was still in season.
Okay, not 6 weeks ago. 6 months ago.
Here is the reason I sent it. Number one, we all know about boat trips in Miami in this town.
Yes, we do.
And number two, Drew Aller is now the topic of the week with, you know, Giants fans and stuff. So I thought it was just, if it is true, it's just worth it to have fun with.
If it's true that Drew Aller right now, hours before a playoff game in college football, and a game that is widely being considered to have a major impact on his draft stock, if this is true, and I preface, if this is true, Drew Aller is on a yacht hours before a playoff game, does this change your view on potentially drafting him?
Yes. You're not mature enough for the NFL.
Oh, come on. Well, there's no way he's on a yacht right now, by the way. The game is tonight.
Well, so just so everybody knows what we're talking about, it is a text message exchange this person is claiming to have with a friend who is running the yacht, who says the yacht is out until 3:30 Eastern, meaning, you know, he'll be done in time 4 hours before kick.
He's in Miami and he's on a yacht. If he was in San Francisco on a trolley, we'd be annoyed. He's in Miami. You're going to be on a yacht. There's a lot of water around. He's just hanging with the bros. Not playing bad. Picture I saw was just a bunch of dudes on a boat.
You're not taking a yacht. It's the biggest game of your life in your college career. You're playing to go to a national championship game. Could you not be out on the boat?
Is it actually him?
I don't know. That's the problem.
We don't know.
Right.
Yeah, but here's the way I would ask it, Teak. You played college football. You obviously played in the NFL.
Yes.
If there is a game, even if it's not a national championship semifinal game like it is tonight, would you be doing anything?
Well, first of all, you're not
5 hours before.
You're not allowed to do anything.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. That's why
there's
for
no
Tommy,
way this is Drew Aller.
You're probably right, but that's why when you said Loogie, if you're in San Francisco, you're on a trolley. Yeah. It's not about what you're doing. It's that if it's a game day, I don't think you're allowed to do anything.
Right.
So then it's likely not from today.
Well, that's what I said. And if it's not from today, then it's not a big deal.
But even if it was from today.
If it is from today, he's breaking team rules, like Tiki said.
That would be bad, breaking team rules, but I don't think it'll affect his play on the field tonight.
If he's breaking team rules, he'll be suspended, and he won't play tonight.
No,
you play college football. Come on.
Well, that's the problem with these pictures and whatnot. Like, you could take a picture. Like, someone could take a picture of me from a few days ago and say, Evan doesn't have COVID. Look, he's right there. He's walking down the street.
Right.
It could have been from a week ago.
Yeah, you can't believe anything in photographs anymore.
Got to be very careful. The one thing I do believe in, not just photographs, but video, and we'll explore it as the show rolls on, is this video of Trump and Obama laughing with each other. I watched it again. Mm. I still can't imagine what's being said to each other.
You think it's AI?
No, it's an AI. Now we don't believe anything anymore.
I really don't.
I've always had a fascination with presidents and the way they interact with each other. And I've always had this belief that presidents of opposite parties get along much better than presidents of the same party. Because presidents, I'll give you my reasoning, because presidents of the same party have a rivalry. Like, Bill Clinton glances over at Barack Obama, and he's like, I'm the king of the Democrats. And Obama's like, shut up, bro. I'm the king of the Democrats. Trump and W. Bush, they don't even look at each other. They don't even talk to each other, right? But when it's the other party, it's like, you're not rivals. I mean, you are in terms of
you're
the opposite, but you're so the opposite. You're not fighting for the love from the same group of people.
Yeah, because party infighting is what dominates politics these days.
Exactly.
No, you're right. You're right.
So, like, Bill Clinton and George W. Bush are having a good old time, and Barack Obama and Donald Trump are having a good old time. But Obama and Clinton won't even look at each other, and Dubs and Trump won't even look at each other. I love this stuff. I can't get enough of it. It's sad that it's happening at a funeral. It's obviously happening at the funeral.
It's a celebration. You have to be 100, dude.
No, you're right.
President of the United States from a peanut farmer in Georgia.
You know what I just realized? I think I figured it out. I was reading lips. I think Trump whispered to Obama, did you hear Evan Roberts had to ask for a peanut butter and jelly through a peephole today? I'm a loser.
That's a good one.
You think those peanuts came from Jimmy's farm?
30% chance.